Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Dr. Lili Shao is the director of the Asian Renal Clinic, the kidney clinic, an associate physician at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston, and assistant professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School. As both physician and scholar, having earned both her MD and PhD, her work has both saved lives and increased the quality of people's lives as she trains and directs research for worldwide impact. Dr. Shao has experienced the love of Jesus Christ, and that's why together she, all the way from Boston, Massachusetts, here today to share with you about the grace, mercy, and love of Christ. And look, the reason we have the Good Life Radio Show is just that, to bring you closer and closer to Jesus Christ. For you to know, my friend, that He loves you so much, He died on the cross for your sins. He shed His precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, He rose again from the grave. And today, the living Christ calls you to Himself. We ask, dear one, would you open your heart to Jesus? No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, no matter how difficult things might be, oh, remember, the Lord loves you and He knows you. It's our hope, it's our prayer that you would receive Christ as your Savior and your Lord today. Dr. Shao is with us. She has much to share, and we're privileged that you're with us and that together with her, we're all in this moment, a blessing from God. Dr. Shao, welcome to our show.
Thank you very much, Danny.
Where did you grow up?
I was born and grew up in Taiwan, in the very central part of Taiwan called Taichung, a small village which is very close to a famous tourist place called Samwon Lake.
Mm-hmm. What was it like for you growing up there, Lili?
I had wonderful, wonderful childhood. My father was a gynecologist. My mother was a pharmacist. And when my father got sick, that was during World War II, he returned to Taiwan to because he his illness. He later retired to that Summer Lake area because what he had was a TB, so he decided to leave Taipei and went to this countryside to get fresh air. And as it turned out, he fell in love with the place and the people, so he decided to stay in that small village to practice as a family man, a physician.
Mm-hmm.
He got married. In fact, he knew my mom when they were studying in Japan, but they got married after they returned to Taiwan and after my father decided to stay in that small village. So both me, my sister, and my brother, I was the oldest one. I have a younger sister, younger brother. All three of us, we are born in that small village. And it was we never attended kindergarten, but it was the happiest time as a child can be.
Hmm. Tell me about a special memory that you have as a child.
I remember most of my father's patients were Aboriginal people. And the only language my father was able to communicate with them was Japanese, believe it or not. So when I was a little, I was able to speak fluent Japanese for that reason. Mm-hmm. Since I was the firstborn, I was very close to my father. And I even though I was 4 or 5 years old, I loved following my father around. You know, when he was in the clinic seeing his patients or when he did house call, I tried to follow him as much as I could. And I remember one time when I was 5 years old, a patient came to our clinic, which is, you know, the way it set up was my father's clinic was our living quarter was connected to my father's clinic. And my mother's pharmacy was next to my father's clinic. And so the person came in, there was an infection on his thigh, and I was my father's assistant. And I remember that very well. I remember my father drained pus from this individual. And right that moment, instead of scared, I got excited. I was like, wow, that's really cool, being able to help someone who came in limping, in pain. And as soon as that pus was drained, he instantly looked better.
Did you notice within yourself as a child your reaction? That you weren't afraid, that you weren't taken aback, but you were thrilled by the experience?
At that time, I didn't know, but it was after I grew up and that I look at back, and there's many, many things that I realized I was never scared. I guess because I grew up in a physician's house, I was so used to it. I'll give you another example. After my father died, when I was 8 years old, my father asked my mother to stay in that small village, despite my mother wasn't a medical trained physician. At least she was the only person who received Western medicine type of training. There's a fight in the small village, and someone got severely injured and a tremendous bleeding at the time. And this person came to our house, and remember, my mother frantically tried to stop bleeding. And every single time this person take a breath, the blood was shooting up like a fountain. I still remember very well. And being a 9 years old, my job was running to the only place in the village that has a telephone, make a phone call to arrange transportation so that my mother was able to take this individual to a next town where has better equipment to help this individual. And I wasn't scared at all when I look back at all.
That really is an indicator, I think, for me and maybe a whole slew of others. We would have been running out of the house, frantic, in fear of seeing something like that. But for you, boy, God really had already shaped in you a certain, well, very deep inclination towards what you're doing today.
Yes, so Danny, another thing I think is very important about my family, I should say, which is the shape, the type of person I am right now, a couple of things. One, my family, my mother, my father, was incredibly generous. I remember, the village is very poor, and I remember many people came to see my father. They were not able to pay. And I remember very well, they would ask my father if they could have an extension. And my father always give them extension. And in fact, I never seen my father write down in any book saying so-and-so owe me this much money. However, the village people, they have tremendous pride. Even the matter of my father give this people an extension, they show incredibly appreciation. So they constantly bring in a small gift. For example, in the farm product that they raise, So to this day, one of my favorite food is a bean called a small red bean, which is because when we were little, we constantly received such a gift from villagers. My house is open. We never lock 24 hours. Mm. And my mother constantly making cookies out of, you know, you can imagine back then in Taiwan, we don't have equipment, you know, so-called oven, but I don't know how she did it. We always have a room full of food, and the room is open to the entire village. I remember when I was a little, whenever I was hungry, I would, you know, go to our kitchen looking for food, and I always see a people in our house looking for food in our kitchen. So I grew up used to this sort of kind of thing. Another thing is my grandmother, who never attended a single day of school. I mean, she came to our live with us. And back then, our family, we have a cook, we have a gardener, people who are working with us. And in back then, in the culture, is the workers, they don't eat at the same time with so-called master. That's unfortunate. That was, you know, you can imagine how long ago was it. Mm-hmm. That was according to Japanese culture. However, my grandma, as soon as she arrived, she say, this kind of things is not allowed to happen as long as I'm in this house. She said, everybody during the mealtime is our guest. Everybody's equal. And so from that point on, every single meal, everybody in our house, we sit at the same table. We have the meal at the same time. Anybody who will serve my father or my grandmother will be my mom. It's supposed to be me, but I was too little, too young.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned it when I was a little about very basic sense of respect people, anybody, regardless your background, regardless who you are. We should show a basic respect. And I just want to have this chance to share with you.
Well, Dr. Shaw, I marvel at the substance of character, the substance, the gravity of what you grew up around, what you were able to see, the benevolence, the graciousness, the care, the respect for humanity, for other human beings, the dignity of others, and the sensitivities that you've had, which you carry on to this very day. Dr. Shaw, when we come back, I'd like to hear, maybe you could share with us how you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ.
I would love to.
Experience of knowing the love of God and the grace of God. Dr. Shaw is at Harvard Medical School teaching, researching. She's a physician that cares. Scholarly compassion. It's an awesome combination. She embodies that in Christ. And you'll hear more of her story when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
So you grew up in what you would consider a marvelous place, an enchanted memory. You also recognize within yourself over the course of time that you have different kinds of instincts. I mean, when other people might be freaked out or afraid or grossed out at the sight of blood, spewing blood, a fountain of blood, not you. You are drawn into it. There's a sense of excitement, of wanting to help, wanting to care. Of course, I'm speaking of Dr. Lily Zhao. Dr. Zhao is the director of the Asian Renal Clinic and associate physician at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. She's an assistant professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School. She was talking about her growing up years in Taiwan, where her father was a gynecologist, became a family practice doctor, and her mother was a pharmacist. A unique background. But there came a moment in her life when she came to know the love of Christ. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. So glad you're with us today. You can get this program in its entirety at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Dr. Zhao, how did you become a Christian?
So that was dated to when I was in high school in Taiwan. In order to attend a good school, you have to take a certain exam. And I attended Taichung Girls High. One of my classmates, I was very tall in my class. I always sit in the last row. And this classmate, who is as tall as I am, and she sit next to me. As it turned out, she's a Christian. Her entire family is a Christian. So she's the one led me to Jesus. Now, I wanted to bring it down back, bring you to 1983, when I came to America. I remember it's 1983, August 16, I arrived in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Before I came to America, I did not go to church because at the time, I had a question. I was like, Catholic and Protestant, we all believe in the same God. Why is it different? What's the difference between Presbyterian and Methodist? And which one do I belong to? Which church do I go to? Unfortunately, at the time, nobody could answer me that question. So I stopped going to church. Now, when I arrived in America, after I settled down in a dormitory, one day I turned on a radio, very much like this one, Danny, like yours. And I remember it was in about 3 p.m. I did not hear what was the program about, but I caught one sentence from a speaker. He say, Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship between you and God. And that, as soon as I heard that statement, my entire, my eyes just light up. Because when you talk about relationship, to me, it's very real. I know exactly what it means. like I described my relationship with my family, my father, my mother, my grandfather. In fact, after my mother, my father died, it was my uncle's aunt, cousin, who raised us up. And we have wonderful, wonderful relationship with our entire family, relatives. So I know exactly what relationship means. Because of that, I started to wanted to know God. And I remember in high school, my teacher told me, if you want to know God, everything he revealed himself, everything in the Bible. So I started to read Bible myself, and I realized that it's very difficult to read Bible yourself. So I started to look for Bible study, fellowship. Took me about 3 months to find a fellowship, which is specific for graduate student, for college student, young professional from overseas. And as soon as I find a fellowship, as many fellowships, they get together every Friday night. And I went there first time, and I never stopped going to that fellowship. I just keep going every Friday night, join a small group, Bible study, and that's how I build my relationship with God. Today, if anybody asks me, I can tell anybody with confidence that I am not lonely at all because I have God in my heart. To these days, wherever he sent me to, even though there's only me in the entire universe, I should say, as long as I have God in my heart, I feel my life is very content.
What did you experience in the fellowship when you would meet with the groups, you know, week after week after week?
It's about study God's word. And through other people's sharing, which helped me to know what exactly what it means. And some of the verses really came into my heart. And I to this day, it's still my favorite. For example, one of them is Exodus chapter 14:14. You say, be still, know that I am God. And I think it's very similar, you know, is in Psalm chapter 46, I believe, verse 10, say, be still and know that I am God. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, the Exodus, they say, be still, know that God will fight for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The reason these two verses, I've been drawn to these two verses is because since I was a little, I'm always very active. I'm very active. I'm very outgoing. I'm very willing to do a lot of things. You know, any things that need to be done, will be the first person who jump out and do it. And through knowing God, become a Christian, I learned how to be still. A lot of times, I think this has become a wonderful character for me now, become a physician. So that I learned the skill how to be a good listener, listen to patients. So being a Christian is wonderful. Yeah.
Now, you are a physician today, but you were, before you became a physician, you earned your PhD. How did God lead you to pursue that and to complete that?
So happy to ask me this question. So 1986, March 8th, I still remember, it was a Saturday, and I went to the laboratory to do some of my PhD work. The Holy Spirit came to me. I kneeled down, and I dedicated my life to God. I prayed to God. I said, this life is yours now from this point on. Take it. Whatever you like to use it. And from that point on, every time I pray to God, I only have questions. Say, what do you want me to do for you? What can I do for you? This is the sort of kind of relationship between me and God. You know, my prayer to him is always very short, but right to the point.
So you're asking him, what can I do for you?
Yes. I asked him, you know, now this life is yours now. What do you want me to do?
Mm-hmm.
My prayer to God, you know, since 1986, is never be very simple, straightforward, or short answer. For example, this question I ask God, it takes me more than 1 year. And I learned, like I say, through the Exodus and Psalm, be still, when I don't hear from God, I don't move. I stay in the same place, and I just keep asking. If I don't hear him, I don't see the door he opened for me, I stay still. And that's what I did. I keep praying and keep praying. To a point, God put the words in my heart saying medical mission. And at the beginning, I say, okay, medical mission. Okay. At that time, I'm getting my PhD in experimental pathology and cell biology. I study malaria. So perhaps after I get my PhD, I'll teach in medical school, and I will be able to work with students in the medical field. That would consider medical mission. However, I learned not to over-interpret what I received. So I become more specific. I say, asking God, you know, to be more specific to me. You know, say, what do you mean? How? How would you like me to do that? And to a point, again, God put into my heart that physician. And at the beginning, when I had this calling, I resisted to it. I love doing research very much. Doing research in that period of time was one of the happiest times in my life. And so I argue with God, as a matter of fact. I say, God, you are wrong. This is gonna take more than 10 years for someone to be ready for you to use it. That must be a mistake. That's how I argue with him. And then I went and met my senior pastor. I say, how do I know this is from God? It's not because of from where I was, my background, where my family, my father was a doctor. So he encouraged me to continue to pray, continue to wait. He said, if it's truly from God, this is, it won't disappear. You just need to be patient. So I continue praying for a long time. To the end, I realized that it's truly from God, because the more I resist, the more I don't have peace. To the point, you know, I couldn't even sleep at night.
Wow.
So I argue with God. I say, you know, still, I'm not willing to do that. You know, I use the earthly reason to argue with God. I said, look, I don't have a green card. Medical school is very expensive. English is not my first language. How am I going to compete with anybody? I thought I was winning my argument. But to make story short, as it turned out, I got into medical school. By the time I got in, I didn't have a green card. My tuition was taken care of it. And I graduated from medical school. So I guess English wasn't the problem. These are how wonderful God is.
Dr. Zhao, there's so many questions that I want to ask about that experience. And when we come back, let's talk a little bit more about it. One thing really stands out that led to this point is your question to God. Your prayer is very different. The prayer that you prayed is very different from many of the prayers that I've prayed. And I think many different from the prayers that many others pray. When we pray, when I pray, quite often I'm asking God for things. God, can you help me with this? Can you lead me with that? Can you provide this? And your prayer, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? That sounds like a follower of Christ. That sounds like a servant. That sounds like the prayers that I really should be praying. Dear listener, as you hear Dr. Zhao today, how's your prayer life? When we come back, she'll share more about her experience. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, may aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference. But where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waiahua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waiahua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, "I believe in you." Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Well, how many of us, when we pray, well, you know, we should. More of us should. All of us should. When we pray, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Well, that's the prayer. That's the prayer of Dr. Lily Shao. Dr. Shao is the associate professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School, an associate physician at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston, and she's the director of the Asian Renal Clinic, the Asian Kidney Clinic. How do you pray? Let's pray like her. Let's pray like we ought to pray. But then really listen. She takes the time to listen and as God leads. But how about this? Have you ever heard God give you directions and you take the step, but then you take 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 steps ahead of Him? In fact, you're ahead of God. But you think you're doing, I think I'm doing, we think we're doing God's will. Lord, I got this now. Thank you. I'll take it from here. This is the Good Life Radio Show. You can get this program in its entirety. If you're tuning in right now, get this at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Dr. Shao, you earn your PhD, and then God leads you to get your MD. You get into medical school. You finish. Did you ever walk ahead of God?
I did. After I went into medical school, I knew for sure, of course, first of all, I wanted to say, when God wanted to use someone, he always uses someone who is not capable, so mm-hmm. that we have nothing to boast. I'm not smart. I'm not quick reader. In fact, I don't like to study. But God used me. So I know I'm nobody. If the only thing is I'm willing to let God use it, and he take it, and he use me. So when I get into medical school, I started to use my own interpretation. I said, great, now God's going to use me. And all alone in my entire life, I really wanted to go to Africa. That's the two reasons for that. One, when I was young, my mother often show us a story about Africa. So in my head, I have this wonderful picture about going to Africa, serving people there. And because of that, as a Christian, now I'm a physician now, I have the true opportunity to be able to do that. And for example, one time I heard there's a missionary surgeon who was in Africa for over 15 years, who just moved back to the United States. I called this person. I said, you don't know me, but I would like to come to meet you. I went, and I told him how I would like to serve God. He encouraged me. He said, if you want to go to that region, have a special skill, such as being a surgeon, he definitely is useful. And because of that, I, still in the medical school, I geared myself up, wanted to be a surgeon. And gratefully, thankfully, I absolutely enjoy the life of being a surgeon. As a medical student, when I do rotation, I absolutely love being in the operating room. So I was very grateful that, you know, God wanted to use someone, and he didn't force me to do something I hated. So when I applied for residency, I applied 15 programs. I got every single interview. Everywhere I went, I was told I was such an outstanding applicant, candidate. I am the one who decided where I wanted to go, and everybody would be happy to receive me. However, though, the end of January, after I finished all my interviews, I don't have peace in my heart. And so one Sunday in February, I asked four couples from our church, whom was my sort of my prayer partners, I asked them to pray with me. And during their prayer, there's a lot of stress during the prayer. I could sense that. When I went home, I knelt down to God, I cried. For some reason, I could not explain to you, but I knew somehow God would close this door. And sure enough, March, that's usually nationwide, you know, when you apply residency, the match day when it happened, I didn't get matched to any surgical program. I was a surprise, including the school was a surprise. The dean, the chairman of the surgery department, they were very surprised, and I talked to the department of the chairman of the surgery, the chair, who was very kind to me. I told him, I guess the surgery is not for me, which is, I turned around to, I decided to do medicine. Now, looking it back, I think of what happened was, as a Christian, I have walked before God instead of walking with him. When I look back, I was listening to my prayer. as if, instead of listening to God, what God was telling me, I was telling God what I wanted to do for him. Hmm. And that was a mistake. And sometimes God allow us to make mistakes. But for my case, God, in fact, intervened. He stopped me from not doing that. Because knowing myself is very, very possible. Once I become a surgeon, I may become very proud. I may potentially stay away from God. So I'm very grateful. Though there's about 6 months of time, I was very angry with God. I say, I thought you're my best friend. I thought you know my heart. I want to serve you. How can you close this door? I couldn't pray to him. I couldn't go to church. I couldn't sing any hymns until one night. I was on call in a hospital. 3 a.m. After I finished all my duty, ready to go to sleep. That was the very first time in 6 months I was able to pray to God. I said, God, I am very tired. Please take over. And that was the first night in 6 months. I slept like a baby. And next morning I woke up. Entire weight was completely lifted up. And my relationship with God again restored.
Peace? You had peace?
Absolutely.
What lesson has the Lord taught you? Dr. Shah, when we come back, here, the lesson in the 6 months, what was the Lord in that time where it seems like there was very little or even no communication, right? You couldn't sing the hymns, prayer time, very sparse, if any at all. But when we come back, could you share maybe one or two of the lessons that you learned in that time? Because today, someone may feel like that. That intimacy they had with the Lord, they've been disappointed, they've been confused, they've been hurt. Perhaps the Lord has a word of encouragement for you to share with our dear listener. Right now, as they listen to your story, they feel like they know you. They can connect with what you've gone through because it's what they're going through in their own way. When we come back, Dr. Lily Hsiao, so gracious, sharing heart to heart with you. She'll share more when we come back. Stay with us. Don't leave now. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word. Weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Now, let's really get down to the nitty gritty. This is it, right here. In life as a follower of Christ, perhaps there's been moments when you have been so disappointed. Your hopes have been set high. You are walking with the Lord. You're hoping in Christ. You reading the Word, memorizing the Scriptures. You're in fellowship. I mean, it can't get any better. This is the good life. And then your hopes, your dreams, your thoughts, boy, they're just dashed to pieces. And suddenly that warm heart you had with God, the loving intimacy that you had with the Lord, begins to turn cold. And as it begins to turn cold, it begins to turn hard. And the love suddenly begins to turn to not only discouragement, to disgust, strong feelings of perhaps even saying, Lord, I don't even want to be a Christian anymore. This is the nitty-gritty. This is the stuff that people go through. Have you gone through that before? Are you there right now? Dr. Lily Shao, she can understand how you feel. In fact, we'll go straight back to her. Dr. Shao, did you ever experience that? And if so, what was it like for you?
Oh, there's a time, like I say, I was very angry with God. Feel like my offer to God was rejected. He didn't want it. So to a point, you have to know, my relationship with God is sort of kind of like a best friend. So there's a period of time I remember I told God, I said, you know what? I thought you were my best friend, and you betrayed me. This is the language I use. I still remember. Mm-hmm. And out of anger, I told God, I said, you know what? I don't want it to be a Christian anymore. So at that point, I remember when I say that, I visualized myself standing at the crossroad. I looked back to my old life, and I decided that that's not the life I wanted to go back. So I realized at that point, even I want it undone, being a Christian. It cannot be done because I no longer wanted to go back to that life, that not knowing God. However, at that point, I was so angry with God, I don't want it to move forward. So it was a very interesting feeling at the time. Until one day, during that darkest time, it was the love of brothers and sisters. Small groups of brothers and sisters from my church, they were always there. They're constantly there. They call me. They listen to me. They cry with me. And I can never forget. One of the sisters, in fact, she's also my mentor, Hui Hua Tan, that's her name. One day she gave me a book. Was written by a missionary who spent all his life in Taiwan. He wrote a book, and the book translation in English is like the calling in the wilderness. And I remember when I was reading that book, every single line I read, I cried because it speaks to my heart. At the end of that book, there's a line. You say, when God called you to heal, people, he will break you first. And that was the moment I finally come to realization that this experience was God's way to break me down. And he would he need to rebuild me before he can use me. It hurts. It really hurts when he breaks someone. Even now I'm telling you, I can still feel the hurt. Mm-hmm. He break me into small pieces during this experience. But when I overcome the anger, I allow him to build me the way I am now. It was built by him.
The lesson, so it was a lesson of brokenness. A lesson where God, someone would say, Lily, how can a loving God break someone like that? I thought he loved her. I thought he loved me. How can he break me like this? What would you say?
See, I mean, Father, our God is like our Father. He knows what's the best for me, and he knows what's the best or what the best he can use me for his kingdom. A lot of time we live on earth, we don't see that. We have such a short vision. We always see is what is in front of us. But what God sees is from above. He sees everything. In his kingdom, in his plan, I need to be somewhere according to his plan. When I was doing something according to what my understanding, for my case, God feel he needs to stop me. A lot of time we are like a spoiled child or stubborn child. When we got answer of no, we were crying and kicking. It's not happy. It's not very pleasant. However, for the long run, it all worked out.
Doctor Shaw,
you know where I am now. Yeah.
What? So with that, you say in the long run it all worked out. How did you end up at Harvard?
That's right. That's exactly what I mean. So, you know, that's, go back to the first day I was in medical school. Since God brought me to medical school, so I knew that was him. It's not me. You know, I am not capable. It's entirely God's doing. So the first day I went home, I kneeled down and I prayed to God. I say, okay, from this point on, do you want me to be academia or you want me to be just a pure clinician, being a country physician? And I that's how I pray to God. I say, if it's up to me, can I be just a country doctor? However, I don't dare to do that anymore. I'm waiting for God to tell me. I prayed for 2 years, as a matter of fact. You know, for 2 years, God didn't tell me anything. Until 2 years later, I attended a conference called Chinese Mission. During that meeting, got through two speakers using Luke, I believe it's chapter 12, verse 48, say, those who are given much, much will be asked. Because at that time, after waiting for 2 years, I was getting anxious. So I asked God, I said, okay, MD, you want to use it. I have PhD. Do you want to also use it as well? That's how my interpretation. If God want to use my PhD, that means he wanted me to go to academia. And because this is a Bible verse, so I got a confirmation that academia is the way God wanted me to go. And since God closed the door for me to become a surgeon, I turn around, I enter medicine. And then when I finish my residency, I love every single specialty, cardiologist, hematologist, endocrinologist, you name it, I enjoy it very much. However, God used a Bible verse. It's a Proverb, chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. that all the ways that you do, I can manage him, and he will make your path straight. To me, this is a God. God is telling me whatever specialty you want to choose, that's fine, but using three principles. This is, you should use the two for your daily life. And that's when, during the night, I was talking to a couple of professors, and everybody encouraged me. They said, it's obvious. Everybody knows it except yourself. You are nephrologist. Because every time we talk about kidney problem, your eyes just light up. And because of that, I applied, since I make decision very late. So when I apply, I say, okay, if God allow me to, God let me make my own decision. If I'm going to be a nephrologist in serving God, where is the best? Well, the best is at Harvard. I was like, what do I use to go there? I was like, well, I'm willing to let him use it. If I dare to let God use it, let's see how God leads me. And that's where I am here. That's where I come to Harvard.
The application of the Word of God. We hear scriptures. We have certain favorite scriptures. But it's the application of the Word of God. And then the fellowship of other believers who stick with us and stick by us or stick to us in our most difficult moments, and how God uses, as He has in guiding the path, guiding the life of Dr. Lily Shao. Dr. Shao, you have lived an incredible life. You're touching so many people. Your research is making an immense difference in ways that we can't even imagine. And so thank you so much for taking the time to share with us the way you have, heart to heart. I wish we God has really blessed us, and I'm thankful for that. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Danny, for giving me the opportunity to share.
And dear one, as you've heard today, Dr. Shah, I hope you've been moved by her story. Because God's timing is perfect, as you have seen even in her life. And you know what? There's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, look, this is the perfect moment to open your heart to Jesus Christ, like Dr. Lily Shao has. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a presentation set up for you there. And if you'd like to help us with your financial support, you'd like to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. And I want to thank you in advance. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, "For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach Him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ." It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to Dr. Lily Shao. Until next time, along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator, Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.